Hey everyone, this is Stanley Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to raise money successfully from angel investors.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Well, first of all, Heaton, I'm pretty sure that our audience is fairly educated, but still a quick definition on what makes somebody an angel investor.
Yeah, usually an angel investor is someone who writes a check as an individual. So they don't have a partnership and they're just one individual writing a check. Now, some people who are one individual, individuals writing checks have a small fund, like let's say a 5, 10, 20, maybe even $30 million fund themselves. Some people are just writing checks that are sort of personal, like many times I've done that. I don't know if you've done that ever, but like, you know, it's my own capital and I invest it. So there is a broad definition these days, but at the end of the day, it's somebody I would define as making a decision basically themselves. They don't have anyone else to look at to make the decision. And oftentimes it's just an individual, a founder, a CEO, somebody like that, or a professional angel investor who just all they do all day is give money. So there's a few buckets, but at the end of the day, the decision-making process is in one person's hands.
Okay. So, you know, obviously there's a ton of information out there on angel investors and how to raise money, how to raise a seed round, how to raise money from angel investors. I think what we're going to try to do here is to talk about some of the things that are not as broadly talked about or thought about, right? Just like we typically do. You know, if you think about, so typically when people try to raise money from angel investors, it's individual relationships. They reach out to a bigger group of people, right? It's not just going to be one angel investor typically that's going to fill out your entire round. It's going to be a group of people. And, you know, oftentimes there's this idea that these people, these angel investors, they write smaller checks, but they write them faster with less kind of paperwork and headache and negotiation going on. And they're a lot more founder-friendly because many of them are founders or operators. So they'll bring some expertise to the table. Maybe they have a lot of context. Maybe they know a lot about your industry. And also they're going to kind of help with maybe running the business or just in any kind of ways that just people that are more hands-on, right? So a lot of times for founders, what is so appealing about angel investors is that these people are going to be easier to talk to, easier to convince. And then they're not just going to write me a check, but they might help me get more checks and more investors. They might help me get customers. They're going to be involved a lot more and they're going to be a resource that I can use. Now, what are some of the things that a lot of founders get wrong in the way that they think about angel investors? What are some of the, you know, you've been an angel investor, you've invested a lot of times in companies. What have been some of your frustrations with founders in terms of how they approach you, or even after you've written the check or didn't write the check, how the relationship continued afterwards? What are kind of some misconceptions or some things that founders get wrong about raising money from angel investors?
Yeah, that's great. I agree with you about a lot of the things about angel investors and the hands-on and all that stuff. It's definitely a something common where they just get more involved or have more of a opinion, I guess, and are able to give you some advice. Sometimes it's a specialty of like, you know, they happen to be really great at sales and they're angel investing. Sometimes it's just, you know, they're just helpful. They just tend to be more helpful because they help you kind of gather the round together and things like that. I think what people get wrong about angel investors is, just like any other investor, you don't want to rely too heavily on their opinion, to be honest, unless they're giving you, you know, unless you're asking them for advice that's very prescriptive for your business. One of the reasons I say that is angel investors are usually giving you money at the earliest stages of your business. And if they have too strong of an opinion about your business, and then you learn something that goes against it, but they gave you money against that opinion they have, then they can actually be a lot of trouble for you. And so you want to weigh those angel investors in the way of like, are they investing because they believe in your category or they believe in a certain approach you have that might change? Or are they investing because they believe in you and the team? And so you want angel investors that believe in you and the team, not ones that are just like so excited about your category and what you're doing, because oftentimes businesses change quite a bit from when an angel investor invests. So I've had businesses I've invested in where like I invested and, you know, they were a B2B business and then they turned into a B2C business sometime from now. Usually it goes the other way. They started as a B2C business, turned into a B2B. I'm someone who can help either way, so that's cool. But I've dealt with angel investors on the other side, the other angel investors in that company that were like freaking out, or the founders were worried that, oh, this angel investor invested because we were a B2B company. Now we're turning into a B2C company because of something we discovered and an opportunity. And we don't know how to communicate that to this person because they invested in something different. So then you get all this stuff in your head, like, should I return the money? How are they going to feel? And all that. And like, it's just crap, right? It's your business. Make your decision and move forward and find investors who are okay with that. It's hard to gauge in the beginning, but you have to remember that you want someone who's invested in you and your team and your ability to execute, not in just a single idea. I'll give one more. So another thing is like angel investors, it's just really odd sometimes, but angel investors who should be writing checks much faster and quicker, sometimes you can get a sense that they're I'm not saying they should be fast, you know, they should definitely get comfortable with you and you should give them enough information, but some of them want to hang out with you and meet with you once a week for like a month and get to know you and have drinks with you and have dinner with you. And they're going to write you a 10K check, $10,000, but they want to know you that well. And, you know, honestly, it's your decision. If you want to spend that much energy on one angel investor because they're worth it or, you know, whatever, and you think they are beyond the money, then go ahead. Most of the time I've seen that those investors are essentially not very professional in investing. They don't have a lot of experience. They write small checks and they really are better off just investing in friends because that's just their model. They're good at it. So for me, like oftentimes when I know that an angel investor is like that, I will not really intro a founder to that angel investor because they're not looking for slow money, not slow, small amounts of money, because they might as well just go pitch somebody who can write a 100 or 250K check and spend all that time with that person because it's going to be more impactful for their time. You know, and you don't want to spend like all your time raising money and talking to these investors if you don't have to. So that's another big one and a big red flag for me, unless I invite that and I really want that person's time, right? Then it's different, you know, but usually that's not the case. Usually they're wasting your time. They're trying to get good with you or know you when really like they've maybe made a few dozen investments in their life and most of them have been friends and they shouldn't even be talking to you.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. I think that most founders grossly overestimate the value an angel investor can bring in the short term and grossly underestimate the value they can develop over with an angel investor over the long term, right? So they think this angel investor, he's going to help us raise all the round and get all the customers and get all the press. And this person is kind of like whenever you see an external entity as like your key to whole success – to me, that's always a big red flag. Like there's something going wrong here. As a founder and as a founding team and as a startup, the success should be always in your hands. And external forces should be able to enhance that success or accelerate it at certain times. But it should not be – success or failure shouldn't lie with somebody else outside of your own team. I think that – so there's a bunch of things with angel investors that I think you pointed out that are really, really important for founders to know, and a lot of them don't. One is, you know, I think even the question like, is this somebody that is how experienced is this person as an investor, even if he or she is an angel investor? Meaning, when was the last time they made an investment? How many investments have they made? How many failures have they had? All these things matter, right? And there's a big difference between, I think, the angel investor that's like a wealthy individual that has very little experience in your area. Let's say if you're a startup that has no experience in startups, like it's a dentist, right? A wealthy dentist, great person, but has no experience in technology or startups, running them, building them, helping with them. But they saw a bunch of movies, they hear all the hype, and they think, you know what, I should do some angel investing. They have money, but they don't have investing, they don't have sophistication in the type of business that you do. And in investing. So this type of person to me, more often than not, there's always exceptions to this rule, but more often than not, this type of angel investor will be trouble down the line just because they're so inexperienced in investing. They might take too much time. They might want to be too involved. If things don't go well, they might create a lot of like panic and urgency. They might get like, they're just trouble. So I would really vet my angel investors and trying to understand, is this somebody that has a lot of experience in the area that we're in, and has this person really invested and how much and how frequently and how recently? Because the funny thing is just investor, just like, or angel investor, just like advisor, they're such prestigious titles that a lot of people want to just have them to have them. Like a lot of people like to play investor, right? And this is what, like you brought up one example where somebody just wants to have friends, right? So another flavor of that is somebody who just wants to play angel investor. So he or she wants to have lots and lots of meetings of young entrepreneurs pitching them their ideas. They want to feel the power trip of looking at that and judging it and questioning it and getting more information. And they like the fantasy of maybe investing. But if you ask them the last 3 years, they've not made a single investment in anything. Right, they just meet with all these people, and the last time they invested was 4 years ago. So, knowing about kind of the, is this somebody that's doing this somewhat frequently, has done it somewhat recently, has some experience in doing the type of investment in companies like ours? I think all these questions are really important. A lot of times, founders are not asking them because they are so blinded by the prospect of getting millions of dollars or getting lots and lots of money that they are not as critical as they should be. The other thing is, as you said, like you might pivot. So if the person is totally in love with just the idea but doesn't care that much about your team, that could spell trouble. Our best angel investors, or the best angel investors that I know, always focus on the team, and they fully buy into the team more so than the company, because they know the company or the idea is like 2 months old or 3 months old or whatever, and there's a very high chance that it's going to change. So although they need to like the idea and understand it and feel like the idea is a chance for success, they're not attached to it. So if the startup pivots and goes from B2C to B2B or the other way around or completely changes what they do, good angel investors, they're not faced by that because they always bet on the team. And they made the bet that if the idea isn't working out, this team is going to pivot and change until they figure something out that works. That's the bet they're making. They're not making the bet on, this is an idea that's so great that it will work, and I don't care about who's working on the idea. The idea is what I'm putting money in. Because if the idea doesn't work out, then you have a person, as you said, that's going to create all kinds of trouble. They're going to want to push you to keep with the idea, although it's not working. They're going to be really upset if you change what you're doing, especially if it's something they're not excited about or they don't find sexy or cool. They're going to be really discouraging, and they might create real harm in your business by pushing against what really needs to happen.
Yeah, I have coached many entrepreneurs to this, and it's like, it's your company, not their company, right? And you can figure that out early on if you just start thinking through, when you're talking to these angel investors, how do they talk to you about it, right? Are they using the words like, you know, words that make you feel like it's theirs or yours? Even like, I have a bunch of angel investor friends now, and I even call them on their words. They basically start acting like the company's theirs. My company.
Yep.
What do you mean your company? This ain't your company. It ain't your company. It's not your company. It's the people who are working in the company. It's the founder's company. It is not your company as an investor. So yeah, just watch the language investors use, because you probably don't want an investor that says it's their company. And I have some of my favorite angel investors use that language. I've called them on it. If they're listening today, like, yeah, stop doing that. That's not cool. It's not your company. Like, and a lot of them ran companies. It's like, would you want an investor running around saying my company, my companies? No, that's just messed up. So like, I feel like what entrepreneurs need to hear about this is that it's your company. Be very, 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 very on it when you're talking to angel investors. Don't get overly excited, and go really pay attention to what their attitude is about your business. Is it about you? Is it about your team? Is it about helping you build a business? Or is it about their perception of your idea or their opinion about your idea and what you should do? And founders, entrepreneurs, they so often just take the advice blindly about like, oh, you should do this or you should do that. And it's like, if you're going to take the advice blindly and not actually dig into it and figure out whether it's right for you, then you shouldn't be even raising money. Because it's your responsibility to run your company, not the angel investors or anybody else. And I can tell you that's probably the number one thing I see with angel investors is like on both sides. It's not just an angel investor's fault. It's not just an entrepreneur's fault. Like sometimes people are just angel investing to basically get that feeling of having that startup like risk or that startup like I'm starting up, you know, and that's cool. Like I get it. I get a rush out of it too. I love startups and I love helping businesses grow. But I also realize when I'm an investor, when I'm an advisor, when I'm not working in the company as an employee or I'm not the founder, it's not my company. And actually that's helped me a lot, like thinking about it like that versus thinking about it like I'm so invested in it and it's mine or anything like that. Also, like, I mean, I could give entrepreneurs and founders that advice, and there's a whole different rant on like how companies are not your baby, but that's going to be a separate episode. That's yes. Got to be a separate episode, Stelly. Anyways. So
I think all this is really important advice and not common one. So it's important people to hear that. Let's flip the script real quick. You as an angel investor, startups come and they pitch you and they pitch you and they pitch you. What is the stuff that you're like, I wish they would do this differently. I wish they would think about this differently because then they would have more success getting my money. They would have more success raising their angel round. What are some of the common things or uncommon things that founders should do or are not doing that you wish people would do?
Yeah, I love the question. I haven't really thought about it. I always think about it the other way for myself, which is how can I help them? So the first thing I'll say is I think it's just like individuals, angel investors are very different. There's probably a few archetypes of the type and we've probably gone through a couple already. But to me, the kind I am, and that doesn't mean everyone else is like me. Many folks though that are operators are like me, I'll say that much, is we want to help you operate. We want to know that you can be coached, right? I don't mean you do what I say, never. What I mean is when I tell you something that's right for your business and I explain it to you logically from a business standpoint, you listen and you actually like understand what I'm saying. That doesn't mean like I'm going to go force you to do anything or anything like that or anyone should do that. But that does mean that like you're logical, you're rational, you're thinking about your business. So I look for founders that are thinking about their business on the most fundamental level, because that's really where like, you know, the rubber meets the road, as they say. It's like, it's a business. You're in business. You're doing this to make money. Don't tell me that like, you know, you have this vision and this future is going to happen no matter what, but you can't tell me how you're going to get there. Or you can't tell me the broad strokes of like the stages your business needs to be in, right? And what you got to do next, right? That's why like a lot of times, like I'm talking to somebody, they haven't sent me their deck yet. I'm like, hey, can we just like review the deck right now? Like, I'll just give you feedback. I don't know if I'm going to invest. I have no idea, right? But like, I'll give you feedback on it. And as I'm doing that, I'm giving them feedback. I'm listening to them. I'm hearing how they take it. And I'm seeing what they think. I honestly just want to understand how they think. Because what I'm doing and what most angel investors should be doing is predicting in their minds whether this company can be successful or not based on the founders and the team and how they think about their business and their market and their customers and their opportunity. That's what matters, right? And I'm in the earliest stages, because angel investing happens typically in the earliest stages of a business, sometimes before anything's even any code's written, sometimes before, you know, a customer has come, usually not these days, but back in the day it was different. Now it's like you got customers, you have things going on, but either way, I want to know that the founder is thinking about their business. I want to know that the founder can execute. I also want to know, and this is obviously probably a lot more personal, but I want to know that they're going to be able to deal with whatever's thrown at them. And that's different for different founders. And, you know, like for you, like, it's like, you'll literally bash through the wall if you have to. Like, you will bash through the wall. I know that about you. And so if you came to me and said, hey, you know, I'm raising money for this, like the approach I would take of just talking to you about it would be much more oriented around the fact that I just get that feeling that you're going to bash through it. So I would tell you, hey, what if like half your customers leave you? What are you going to do, Stelly? You know what Stelly would say? I know what Stelly would say. Stelly would be like, I'll go get more. I'll just go get more. That's not a problem. I'll go get more. And I would believe you, dude, because you will, right? And for me, if someone asked me that, you know, flipping the table on myself and getting to the other side of it, like if half of them leave, I'd be like, I'd make sure half of them would never want to leave. Because that would be my attitude about it. I'd be like, I'd make it so they would never leave. I'd do whatever I can to make sure they never left, because getting them is so hard, right? And that's my perspective, right? And so I just set it up so that they have no reason to leave. And if I had to, and they all left, then I would go figure it out. But I wouldn't give people the confidence you would on, oh, I'll just go get more, right? And so that's the different attitude, probably similar execution at the end of the day of like what we end up needing to do. But what I'm hearing and what I would want to know is this founder knows themselves. This founder knows how to, you know, approach a business based on their own point of view, their own personality, and where they think they might need to grow. I love it. And this is the last thing I'll say. I love it when a founder tells me where they suck and how they're going to get better at that, because it's so important. That, like, just that does it for me. Because the amount of times they can do that and say it honestly and truthfully, that means that they will be able to figure it out. That means that they give me the confidence that they're going to be able to execute. And the reason for that is, at the earliest stages, it is the hardest job. It is literally, and I hate the word hard, I've used it twice already right now, but it's the hardest job. It's like one of those jobs where you're creating the impossible. Yes, it's not like giving birth to a child or anything. That shit is hard too. It hurts, all that, whatever. But this is hard. You're creating something from nothing. So all you really have as an angel investor to look at is any evidence they have so far of what they've done, and then your ability to predict what they're going to do in the future and how they're going to deal with all the shit that comes of running a company.
Yeah, I think that one of the most attractive traits, and it's so attractive because it's so incredibly rare, is to find somebody that is completely confident and has real clarity on what they want to do without being completely delusional at the same time and impossible to talk to, right? So if you can find the balance of like being convinced and having confidence in what you do and what you believe in, but still find an open mind to explore other possibilities or challenge your own assumptions, I think that that's the most attractive thing that I see in founders. Usually founders fall into one of the two spectrums when they talk to me about raising money. One is they're overly confident to the point where it's impossible to coach them. It's impossible to raise any concern. They're not really their listening skills suck because they're so in their own head, so constantly convincing themselves and everybody else. They don't really hear what you're saying. That sucks. I don't want to work with I don't want to invest in a founder like that. I don't want to work with a founder like that. And then there's the exact opposite case, which happens a lot as well, where the founder is completely open to submit to everything and anything you say. So they're like, well, we think we should be doing this and that. What do you think? And then you go, well, I don't like the idea. I think maybe we should do something totally different like this and this and this. And they go, oh yeah, that sounds great. That's horrible, right? That's horrible as well. Somebody that's just going to do anything, say yes to everything, doubts all their own opinions, is kind of a pushover when it comes to that. That's super unattractive and it is not going to make me confident that this founder is going to go through all the challenges, all the pain and all the change and be able to see through it. So what I'm looking for, and this is exactly what you described as well, and just in a different way, is somebody that is balanced, somebody that can push back when they need to push back and can be open-minded and explore certain, you know, different points of opinions when it seems to make sense. So somebody that's going to, you know, take full responsibility for running this company, owns it. They're not looking outside for advice what to do and how to do. They're looking for feedback. They're looking for ideas. But they're going to make this company a success with or without me. But there are still people that are smart enough to listen, and they self-aware enough to know what they don't know, what their strengths and what their weaknesses are. So I think what it boils down to on the angel investor side is that since it's individuals that are writing the check, honestly, it is an exercise in convincing these individuals. It is an exercise in creating a connection between that individual, making that person truly believe in you and your team, and making the person also think a lot of the times for angel investors, yes, it's about getting a return and being part of something great, but it's also like the decision that, yeah, I want to work with these people. Like, I want to work with this team. This team is energizing me. This team is exciting. This team is different. And I want to have a relationship with these people. So it's much more personal when you raise around from individuals. So you have to approach it on a very kind of personal level and make sure that you sell yourself and your team and who you are, and not just your idea and your projections and the market trends and all that stuff, which is all important, but it's not, I would not prioritize it as the first order of priority when you talk to angel investors.
I agree. Yeah.
All right. I think that's it from us for this week. We'll see you guys very soon.
Bye.